What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
We are excited to talk a little baseball with Rob Friedman, a.k.a. Pitching Ninja. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Rob, thanks so much for joining us. We have been having a good time kind of talking about the life and times in the career of one Bobby Jenks and how you, the White Sox in 05, like kind of caught lightning in a bottle because you go from Shingo Takatsu to Dustin Hermanson, and then Bobby Jenks shows up and he's out here getting people with 101, 102, then breaking them off with a curveball. Over the last couple of days, have you gone back over some of the exploits of Bobby Jenks on the mound?
I definitely have. I mean, he was absolutely just a fun dude to watch throw, like way before his time, brought the heat and had a wicked breaking ball.
So when you say before his time, that's what we were thinking about. It's like every team has multiple dudes these days who throw 98 or 99, some at 100, some at 101 with a pretty nasty secondary. Like, How rare was it among closers in like the mid-2000s when all of a sudden Bobby, you know, hit the stage?
Yeah, I mean, it was, there were just far fewer guys throwing gas like that. I mean, just absolutely bringing it. Now, yeah, every team kind of has that guy, but he was definitely a trailblazer then.
So Rob, it's interesting. A texter points out that Bobby got a lot of starts in the minors. He was all starts until he was converted in 2005 at Birmingham for saves. So I wonder if that in some way informs the great secondary stuff, at least at the time, because like a lot of, I don't know, but it's what are your thoughts on that? Because it happens a lot now, obviously, the failed starter becoming a closer or a short reliever, but maybe a little less so then.
Yeah, and you know what? Now it's not even a failed starter. Now it is, they breed guys to go in there and they are just going to bring it. And they're sometimes just the nastiest dudes. I think back then it was a lot of failed starters. Hey, you couldn't make it as a starter. Now let's throw you in the bullpen just in case a starter gets tired, whatever, or to close out a game, obviously. But now it's less that. Like now you have equally as good arms or better arms in the bullpen sometimes. It's just guys that are, you know, more shorter burst guys. But then, yeah, it was absolutely a failed starter thing, and it might have helped him with his secondary stuff, just learning how to pitch.
When it comes to where we're at now, when it comes to the guys, how do you feel about even using the word closer in MLB 2025? Or is everyone that we talk to, should we only talk about them as high leverage?
High leverage is probably a better term, although some teams only use their guys to close games still. But, you know, I prefer it that you just bring in the guy in the biggest high leverage situation, the guy that you trust the most to get that big strikeout or out or however you want to put it. But high leverage is probably a better way to put it. But it's hard to lose that closer name. Like closer is a thing.
Oh, well, I think so, too. Like I the Speaks and I think come by it, honestly, like we still kind of dig the idea of the guy that's huffing out smoke because he's walking out to the mound to kind of get the three final outs. Is there anyone that you think that's pitching right now? Maybe they're a high leverage guy, but might be suited to be one of those guys in baseball.
I mean, I'm looking at, if you look at the White Sox, they have Grant Taylor, who could be a absolute stud in that realm. Trying to think who, like a lot of the guys are already in their position. I know Duran sometimes will float he'll just come in as a high leverage guy, but also close out games.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch.
So yeah, Grant Taylor's a really interesting case. Because he's got an unbelievable arm. Brian Bannister on this show said he had that Grant Taylor had the greatest arm he's ever seen. Right?
Wow.
That's Floyd's kid, longtime MLB, guy. I'm sure you know Brian.
The fact that we got a wow out of Rob is kind of crazy on that.
Best arm he's ever seen, Rob. So
Brian Bannister's seen everything. And I've talked to him. I have a book coming out. He's one of my guys from my book. I love Brian. Banny's a great dude and has seen everything. And for him to say that is the utmost compliment. Like, that's crazy.
Isn't it? And so what's been fascinating, Rob, is the way that their development plan has come together. Because he was a starter in the minors. He was a starter at LSU when he's pitching with Skeens. And he's a starter in the minors. And then they're like, you know what? We're going to move to the bullpen. And people were like, but there's so much more meat on the bone. He could do so much more. But now he's in the big leagues. And they're using him for two inning saves sometimes, or attempted two inning saves. And to me, it's fascinating. So he's using his bullets in the big leagues and getting that experience as a closer a lot quicker than he might have as a starter. What do you think about that?
Honestly, I'd rather it be that way. I love the idea of taking a guy almost fresh out of college. I was just at the MLB combine and I was asking guys like, hey, if it meant you got up to the big leagues early, would you mind coming in a high leverage situation, closing out games, just to get that experience? And to a person, they all said absolutely they would do it. I think it's great. You learn, like, all right, so I've seen a lot of pitchers actually go from a relief role to a starting role, and it actually helps them because they learn to take every pitch and every hitter one by one, versus as if you come up as a starter, you're thinking long run, hey, I'm saving my bullets, I'm doing whatever. There's a special mentality to a high leverage situation where you're watching every pitch, that if you bring that to a starting role, Ronaldo Lopez, case in point, he took off once he became a starter after relieving. That is a thing, and I do think it helps.
Rob, I've covered a football combine. I've covered a basketball. I've never seen the MLB combine. What's it like?
There's a lot of people throwing, a lot of people hitting. It's not quite like the NFL combine where you get timing guys it's just not that same thing. You have guys on the bump throwing. You'll see their metrics. You have guys hitting BP. There's a game. I was doing interviews of pitchers up in a suite. So they're making it a big thing. And to some of these guys, it's a chance to get discovered. So just like a NFL combine or an NBA combine without the jumps and the 40 times and all that.
Well, you're one of the guys that's been on the forefront of kind of moving baseball towards a different type of fan. Is this baseball's attempt to kind of grow it in that way where, hey, we're gonna start letting you know who these prospects are maybe a little bit earlier than what we usually do?
Absolutely. And I think that is the disconnect that baseball has versus the NBA or the NFL, where you draft somebody and they're making an impact the next year. Some of them are making a huge impact the next year. In MLB, it's rare that you have somebody come out like that and get drafted and instantly make an impact. You're starting to see a little bit more of it, though, where guys are getting called up early. And I think that makes people pay more attention to the draft, to the combine, and it makes the sport more exciting. I mean, you want to be in on these guys early, and I think it just helps.
I want to ask you about Matthew Boyd as we're talking with Pitching Ninja, Rob Friedman right here on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score. Makes the All-Star team for the Cubs and was terrific again last night. David Cohn said something interesting about him, about the deception, and how he said that it's hard to quantify deception and that organizations are looking for ways to quantify it, but it's difficult. Want to know what your thoughts on that as related to Boyd, like a lefty who brings it from a from an interesting spot and throws it 95.
It's funny. Coney and I have discussed that just separately, and I totally agree with him. Like, deception is, we have all these metrics. We have spin rate, release point, but there's something that everybody knows exists. Everybody knows deception exists, but we don't know how to create it. It's more than just hiding the ball. It can be a funky arm angle. It can be just the hitter doesn't pick it up for some reason, or the ball isn't where they expect it to be. Some of that can be shown from, you know, attack angle of a pitch or the spin rate, whatever, but some of it can't. And, you know, you're going to have to monitor brain waves and eyesight, you know, gaze tracking, which you can do, but it's even more than that. There's so many factors. It's like one of the last holy grails that we have in scouting is, what is deception and how do you know it? It's all, now we know it when we see it, but how do you know it before you see it?
Wow, that's really interesting. I'm thinking about Sid Fernandez when I was a kid.
Exactly. Or
like people, so is it uniqueness? Like, is that like, boy, I don't see many people that offer me that. So it takes you longer to get used to. Is that the secret sauce in some ways?
That is definitely some of it. And a great call on Sid Fernandez, because he is exactly that. Like, he didn't throw particularly hard, but his fastball was unhittable. It was an invisible. Some of it is uniqueness. Like, you don't, when coaches are teaching pitchers, they're generally trying to boil out the uniqueness and kind of cookie cutter people. And the uniqueness is the secret sauce to be able to give somebody something they haven't seen before. So a hitter, they can't even practice it off traject machines and all that. It's got to be something that just a hitter is like, whoa, what was that?
Joe Maddon used to call it the funk. He's like, that guy's got the funk.
Yeah, and teams like acquire all different styles of it. Like, they want to have a weird arm angle guy or this guy or that guy. Does Shota Imanaga have some of that?
Absolutely, he does. And that's another great example. I think the problem with deception, though, is so everything else you can measure. When you can't measure something and a coach makes a bet on somebody saying, you know, this guy's deceptive, or a scout says this guy's deceptive, if they end up not being deceptive, that's your judgment. You just now shot your reputation. You know, if it's the gun, if somebody's throwing 100 and he doesn't pan out, it's, well, he didn't pan out. That's not on me. If you have the deception, or he can just pitch, is something that you can't really quantify as well. And then it becomes your judgment, and you get, you know, dinged for it if you're wrong. But if you're right, pretty big.
You brought up Skeens earlier. Spiegs and I were talking a few weeks ago. I ran across Paul Skeens' workout, and I'm fascinated by it. And obviously, all of us are trying to figure out how to keep the great pitchers, or any pitcher, healthy as long as possible.
Lawrence has slimmed out wearing a tighter t-shirt than regular.
This is like a large t-shirt.
I don't know, man. It's just working. It's working for him. Well, talking about working.
Nice. It's a good look.
I thought so too. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys saying that. It's nice to be appreciated. But when I look at what Skeens is doing, and I, from what I've seen, a lot of the stuff that he's trying is a little bit different than what I've seen other pitchers do. Where are we on the forefront of preventative arm damage? And is there ever going to be an answer to that?
Oh, that is that. We can talk all day on this. That is a great topic. What Skeens has done, and I love it, is he has had some of the greatest Brent Strom is one of his coaches now. He's had just great coaches throughout the years. Wes Johnson. And he takes a little bit from everybody. Throwing a football is a Tom House thing. He's got, you know, just a bunch of different things that he's picked out that work really well for him. And he's kludged together a workout to get him ready. It's not something that we can cookie cutter and say, this is what works, this is what doesn't work. It almost is unique. Like, we can't tell why somebody tears their ACL. Why can we necessarily predict a UCL thing? Some of it is repetitive use. Some of it is sometimes a one-time thing. Some of it is workload that they've had. Some of it's genetics. Some of it's the muscles in your arm, how it protects the UCL. There's so many different factors to it. You cannot tell it just based on mechanics. You cannot save it based on a workout, but you can reduce things by building up your mechanics and building up your big engine to let, you know, take stress off your arm. So many different factors. I wish we can tell. I wish we can do, because I hate it when somebody gets injured. We all do, especially a big name, you know, and you have to wait now 2 years for them to come back, 18 months.
So, what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
I wish we can figure it out. I don't know that we ever... Someday we will. We can do imaging and stuff and say, this guy's at risk, this guy's not. But we're not there yet. No way.
So Spencer Schwellenbach of the Braves, who was a Division I shortstop, by the way, and then became a pitcher, just fractured his elbow. And he says he fractured his elbow. He thinks it's just because of velocity, that it's purely just throwing hard that made him fracture his elbow. That's insane to me. Is that conceivable in your mind?
Absolutely conceivable. My son got a stress fracture in his ribs. He broke his rib from throwing in college. So it definitely, there are stress fractures all over the place.
So I mean, just from torque? Your son busted a rib from torque.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
And that is a thing. Like your muscles pull on your bones and something gives. And with Schwelly, it may have been just repetitive stress, almost like a basketball player gets a stress fracture in their legs or ankles or feet. It's a similar type of thing.
That speaks to just how unhuman it is, or inhuman it is, to ask the body to do this again and again and again, Rob.
It totally is. I mean, it's an unnatural thing. You're putting a lot of stress. And just think about it. You're an athlete. You can't tell these guys to dial it back. Like, nobody can compete. You can't compete at a world-class level and not redline your body. It's real, unless you're an amazing athlete. I think Skeens has dialed it back a tiny bit, and he's still throwing 99, 100. But it's really rare that you have somebody that's that much better of an athlete that they can throw it 90% and get people out. Everybody wants to redline it. That's why they're competitors. But redlining stuff means things break occasionally, and that's the unfortunate part of competition.
It is, but there is another pitcher that I want to ask you about, and clearly, like, this guy is the truth. Skubal, he was his last pitch on Sunday Night Baseball was at 100 miles an hour a couple weeks ago in the seventh inning, and you're like, wow, this guy still has got that in the tank. How have you seen his evolution grow from when he started to where he is right now?
All right, so I know Tarek Skubal for a long time before anybody knew the name Tarek Skubal. At Seattle University, we had a call, and he was just a college pitcher and said, hey, what can you teach me about mechanics? And we talked for a little bit. Fast forward, I just remembered his name, and I interviewed him a couple years ago, and he said, totally remembered the conversation. But he also told me he couldn't hit 100 miles an hour. He said, I'm close, but I just feel like I can't do it. And then not only did he do that on Sunday Night Baseball, but he hit 103 on his 94th pitch of a game this season, which is crazy talk. Like, this is a guy who's told me he couldn't hit 100, and now he's hitting 103. Love that guy. He pitches with such emotion. Everybody should watch him. He's just, you can't take your eyes off him when he's on the mound.
I want to flip it over to a batter for a second and a batter's approach. And I wonder what you think of it. PCA is a free swinger. He's not a guy that takes a lot of pitches. And I know that the conventional thinking is, you need guys, you're going to see a lot of pitches. You want guys, you want to get into a team's bullpen. You want to pick out the optimal pitch and then drive it. I wonder if there is something to the idea of, man, I'm going up there hacking. How does PCA keep himself from becoming a victim of the fact that he likes to swing?
Yeah, that's pitchers have to figure it out. Like, until they figure it out, he should keep doing what he's doing because he's just a monster. So it's a matter of pitchers are going to start, you know, they'll throw him stuff out of the zone. They'll throw off, they'll pitch him backwards. They'll try everything. But until they figure it out, I mean, free swing, the idea is to get on base and to drive people in and hit home runs, hit the ball out of the yard, and he's doing it as well as anybody and is electric. So, you know, I wouldn't change a single thing about his approach. You know, some guys, you have Stephen Kwans who like to run up counts and, you know, he knows he can put the bat on the ball. But if you're not a, if you don't have amazing, ridiculous off the charts hand-eye coordination, get a pitcher early. Like, hit from square one. Get in there and want to hit. Hit your way on base. Don't work the count and then be subject to a pitcher throwing you an 0-2 slider out of the zone.
It's been a big part of Seiya Suzuki's explosion this year is not worrying about going deep into the count. He says he got some of it from Kyle Tucker. Go up there knowing what you're looking for. Look for it and get it. The thing about PCA is his heat map is all over the place. He will hit a high fastball. He'll hit a curve off the shoe tops. He will hit something from outside. It's like, so, I mean, if you're a pitcher, I mean, you're dealing with a guy who's got some Vlad Guerrero Sr. in him, some Kirby Puckett in him, like just see ball, hit ball. It's hard to attack that.
Exactly. I mean, would you tell Vlad Sr. not to be a free swinger? He would be terrible. Like you have to be aggressive. Like some guys can do that. And other guys, they have to be aggressive. It's like telling a pitcher not to go after somebody at 0-2. They nibble and then they're quickly at 4-2 and walk the dude. So I like that approach of just going up there and hitting. If that's your style, if you're an aggressive personality, especially PCA, but Say is so much fun to watch, too.
So I have to give credit to Jim Deshays for this line about Vlad Guerrero Jr. He must have inherited his plate discipline from his mother, so because he didn't get it from his father. I love that. I don't know what kind of hitter his mom was. I can't answer that.
I imagine pretty good.
Yeah, probably pretty good if she played.
Rob, what's it for you? You're someone who looks to the future and you're trying to figure out what's the next cool thing in baseball. What's got you intrigued about the game right now?
You know, a lot of it is the cat and mouse game between pitching and hitting. Like right now, pitchers definitely have an advantage. I mean, we have science, we have everything that can help build a pitcher to throw hard, to throw nasty stuff, the whole seam shifted wake stuff, the kick changes. We can design pitches in a lab that are almost unhittable. Now, how do hitters catch up? What do you do? Is it traject machines seeing a bunch of different pitches? Is there something else? Is there some kind of visual training that you just go to sleep and they're suddenly inundated with different pitch types? I'm just wondering where the game ends up after that. So I think that's what I'm interested in, is how do hitters counter this without moving the mound back or something crazy.
I'm picturing they go in for a 1-hour session of getting overloaded in their brains with different pitches with their eyes closed. That's freaking me out, Rob.
Well, just think about what AI can do, like pitch tipping. I'm seeing a lot more hitters picking up on pitchers tipping, and it's stuff that I can go back and recreate it afterwards, but you can use AI, and every stadium has Hawkeye, which also can measure how a pitcher's moving, and you can tell the difference if you run AI simulations on the pitcher and say, oh, he does this on a curveball, this on a fastball, and now you know what's coming before it's coming. God. You know, these are things, the game is getting so technical that you can either give up and say it's not fun, or say this is so cool. Like, we're now like allowing hitters to catch up, and then pitchers are going to counter that. It's part of a cat and mouse.
When it comes to the players that you've talked to, it seems that pitchers are, and this is just an observation, and I might be painting with a broad brush, pitchers are so into the data. And I know that I've come across a lot of hitters that need it filtrated a little bit. How many pitchers have you run into like that, where maybe it isn't the quantitative guys that need to talk to them? Maybe it is their pitching coach or their manager or a teammate that needs to get them to see the data for what it could be used for.
Yeah, that's a great question, because pitchers, so the difference is hitters are counterpunchers and pitchers are the punt. Pitchers are on offense. They have the baseball. I know we call it defense. They're on offense. Hitter has to react. So a hitter naturally is going, you can give them all the data in the world. It's not going to matter, although pitch tipping and things like that do matter. So pitchers, it's like golf. You're in control of everything. There are some pitchers, though, Chris Sale for one. Chris Sale blew my mind at the All-Star game last year when he said he started throwing a seam-shifted wake changeup. He has no idea what that even meant. But the Braves data guys came to him, pitch analysts came to him and said, if you hold your changeup this way and think of cutting it, it's going to all of a sudden move and be really nasty. Same thing with Skubal, but Skubal's more of a data guy. But for Chris Sale, one of the most old-school pitchers to tell me that he got told something like that and he changed his approach, I was like, what's going on here? So that's somebody that had to visually see it. He wouldn't look at data, but he looked at how his pitch was moving and said, oh, I can work with this.
That means there's hope for us all. Rob, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for the information. You continue to marvel on social. We love your stuff. Thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.